You know, commonly, like,
yeah, you don't have to
like
worry about
a news anchor
up.
Will say, like, oh, they'll cough or, excuse me. Well, moving
I edit
on
that
to
out.
The next story.
Oh.
I edit out the coughs, the stutters.
Get
it
out
gets
of
edited
here.
Out. I messed up the other time in the car because I said light in the winter.
Oh, yeah. You did?
And then darker in the winter, but I meant darker in the summer. And you can hear it in the first one. It was really funny.
Yeah.
No, but I called you out on it, though.
Yeah, you did. He called me out, but I didn't edit that out, so that was funny.
It was a nice calling out.
It was a good one. It was a good one. Awesome. Yeah, so we just do a little bit of free flow, and then we do what we gotta do.
Yeah.
Get into the conversation.
Get into the conversation.
All right.
It's all cash here.
Who's joining us today?
Today, we have a third co-host.
Oh, my God. Our first guest.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
You're first.
So tell us something about you. Just, like, introduce yourself. And tell us, basically, why you're joining us today, what you do in Detroit.
Besides the fact that I love you guys both.
Yeah.
Right.
We're getting good ratings already.
Yeah, already. Well, my name is Norma. Do I put my last name in there?
Nah.
Okay.
You want to put your home government in there.
Yeah.
I live in Detroit. Mm-hmm. I work in advertising and marketing. And I take the bus and bike to work.
Bike to work. All right.
Almost every day, depending on the weather. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big biker, an avid bus rider,
All right. And you guys already know who we are. I'm Sam.
And I'm Ray.
All right. And you're listening to Do Better DDOT Podcast.
All right.
Thank you for that lovely self-introduction, Norma. Mm-hmm. And before we get even further into it, can we do a little background music disclaimer?
Absolutely. If you hear music in the background, that is because we are recording at Socrates Detroit. We do not have control over the music that they play, and we don't own any rights to any music you may or may not hear.
Right. So don't come for us, like we said in the other one.
Please don't sue us. Right. This is not our intention. But join us at Socrates.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I forgot to ask you, why are you passionate about transit, Norma?
Passionate about transit. Well, I've taken the bus pretty much all my life. Born upstate New York, born and raised upstate New York. I have always taken public transportation. Didn't drive a car until I was 30. So it's just the order of the day. I like it. I can sit back and read. I can chill. I can do things. I'm one of those folks that really enjoy the bus.
Okay.
Yeah.
As do we, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy my time.
Yeah. And you know how there's some bus riders that, you know, take the bus because they have to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then there's the other bus riders, I forget what you call them, that take the bus because you...
It was like a choice. So, you know, it was like, hey, park the car somewhere and I can, like, take the bus in the city or whatever.
Exactly.
And then when it's time for me to go home, park and ride sort of thing, like, I can... drive home, or some people have a car.
Exactly.
They leave it parked. They ride the bus most of the week, but if they want to, like, go to another city, you know, like, or drive somewhere a little bit further where public transit's not feasible, then they'll do that. So it's kind of like a hybrid bus rider.
Yeah. I mean, there's positives about it. You save money, car insurance.
All of the above.
You don't have to worry about any of that.
Especially because Michigan has some of the highest insurance rates.
But one of the most healthy combos, I would say, is biking and busing at the same time.
Right.
You can really extend your range that way, too.
Right. And that's exactly what I do. You know, I take the bus to a certain point. I think usually by Cass and Grand River, and then I bike to work.
I wish I could do that. I mean, when I lived abroad,
so awesome.
I did that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
At the train station, they had bike garages, which was really cool. You can just park your bike there and then take the train where you need to go.
Yeah.
Or I would take my little foldable bike onto the train with me, which was even easier.
Yeah, that's so perfect.
Yeah, or on the bus, whichever I need to do. And I was like, I need that again here.
Yeah.
Because I kind of miss riding my bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, since we're getting into that, can we talk about what are some of the issues that cyclists face, you being a cyclist, Norma, on like what when you ride with DDOT?
Mm-hmm. When I ride with DDOT?
Mm-hmm.
I guess the first one, before I even get to the rack, mm-hmm. would be racking my bike on the bus. DDOT has a, they don't have an official policy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you put your bike on the rack, mm-hmm. and there's usually three racks,
mm-hmm.
when they're all working. They're not always working. So sometimes you'll have one rack working, sometimes you'll have two racks. But if you're lucky, all three are working. So I rack it, head downtown from the east side, I mean from the west side. And
what is an incident like when a bike rack is not working? Is it the lock mechanism, the thing that you pull out, or is it that doesn't work at all, like you can't pull it from the bus? Like, what would be an example?
Yeah, it's usually the lock mechanism, the thing that you put over the wheel to secure it.
I see.
That's usually not working, which if it's not secured, then the bike will fall, so you can't rack it. Sometimes the rack is not even there.
Oh.
Whoa.
Sometimes you don't even have a rack. I haven't
had
that happen.
And they got that bus running out?
Yeah, it's running. So I've ran into that.
Mm-hmm.
And where they put a driver actually allowed two people to put their bike on the bus. This is the truth.
What?
Whoa.
I know it.
Let's where? Get you closer to the mic.
I have pictures. I have pictures and bus numbers. And I believe I brought that up in a meeting, a community meeting, so with DDOT.
Do you remember the response, though, if you don't mind going into that?
The response when I told them the bike was on the bus? Well, I don't remember everything they said, but I do remember my concern. If you put both of those bikes on the bus as they were, as you're moving down the line, what if you get a senior citizen or an ADA and they need to put their, the wheelchair?
Mm-hmm.
No room for them.
And then they might get written up. You know, I'm not sure how that goes too, because in that rare incident where you got the bikes on there.
Yeah, I think it was rare.
Very rare, extraordinary.
I've never seen that before.
I wouldn't even say that's typical of DDOT at all. Like,
right.
I think that had to be an extreme exception.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
But someone had a wheelchair. What happens?
She would have most likely got booted off.
Maybe the bike person got booted off.
Yeah, I think the bike person would have gotten booted off because
you can't
pass up old man Smithers and like
you
know.
Can't. No, oh you can't God. Do it.
You just, in a wheelchair, you
no,
know.
No, you can't.
You can't do it.
Oh my God.
You know, Mr. Bike Lady has to get off.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And Smithers on.
Smithers on.
Yeah.
Old man Smithers though.
Old man
I always
Smithers.
Say that.
Right.
It's always old man Smithers or old man Wilkins with me like whatever.
All these right?
So, yeah, I remember you telling us about a time when the DDOT bus driver told you that you couldn't lock your bike, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
that's
that
such
it
an
would
issue.
Get stolen?
Yeah. Big issue.
Yeah. And what did you do? You ended up looking up the policy to see if there was a policy about locking the bikes to the bike rack.
I did. And the reason, just so you have a little background,
mm-hmm.
the reason I like locking my
mm-hmm.
bike after it's secured on that rack
mm-hmm.
is because the bike is pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
all
it's
good bikes
are. Yeah, it's a little over $800,
mm-hmm.
which is not small
right.
in price.
I've seen that beauty in person.
Yeah.
Before.
And I'm happy we didn't say your last name.
Yeah.
Or where you live.
Right, you don't want
it.
That. Yeah. Right. Let's not give the color either.
It's trying to make it seem like a little bit more ugly. You gotta
scrape it up.
Well, y'all guys got to use your imagination on how it looks because there's no images.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Podcast.
Exactly.
Audio only.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it was an issue because I do like locking it up with a little U-lock, and I'm really quick with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the policy that I researched said that you cannot lock your bike on that rack. So that's actually SMART's policy.
Okay.
Mm.
And then I looked at DDOT's policy, and they don't really actually have a official policy. There's a link there that kind of, when you touch it, sends you back to Smart to kind of look at their policy. And I can show you that after.
Okay. That's really
weird. It's kind of weird. I don't know if I can say this, but we went to that community meeting the Thursday, every third Thursday meeting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was Chief Ricky Brown over the transit police. And he said that he was going to get, actually he was in the city council meeting that we went to over on, I think it was off of Gratiot. The first city council meeting that I went to.
Oh, in the evening?
Yeah. And
the evening.
And he said that he gave me his business card and said that he would research that policy and have answers for me. So I'm waiting for answers next Thursday, the 20th, at our community meeting.
Right.
Wilson Parks Transit Center.
Exactly. Yeah. Be there or be square. Right.
5 to 7 p.m.
5 to 7 p.m. Second floor.
Yeah.
June 20th.
I heard it from us.
Mm-hmm. We drill it into everybody when these community input meetings are.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're like, look, be there or be square, basically, because you're not around.
Exactly.
Right.
Man, oh man. So it redirects you from DDOT's website to Smart. How does that help anybody? Because Smart and DDOT are separate, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah, aren't they supposed to be a family now with the whole DART system?
Happy family. The emphasis on supposed to be.
Supposed to be. I mean, the fares are the same.
Yeah. Right. I mean, if they were such a happy family, they wouldn't charge extra for a regional pass. Like, it would still just be 50 instead of 70 if you wanted.
Or their schedules would match up because it's like, they merged the fare system, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you get to that Smart stop and that Smart bus already pulled off and it's an hour until the next bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe there's issues within the family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You're screwed. That's all. That's it.
Right.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So, what are some of the reasons why bikers like to bike and then use DDOT at the same time? Is it obvious or is it... Because some people are exclusive bikers, too, when they ride the bus. So,
that's true. Mm-hmm. Some bikers will ride the entire way and not ride the bus at all.
Mm-hmm. And it could be just because they're close to everything, their work, work, play, live, or something.
Work, play, live.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. For me, it's a lot of things. The mobility gives me, you get so much exercise riding the bike. You can get to places cars can't get to,
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very true.
You can get there a little quicker instead of having to park and, find a parking spot. You just rack your bike.
It does seem really convenient.
Yeah.
And then, of course, DDOT is, for lack of a better word, such crap that you'll probably get where you need to get to if you bike it.
Yeah, right.
Especially you'll get there faster.
Waiting 45 minutes for that bus, and then the transit app says it's on the way, then it's right. not on the way, then it's on the way again, and he's like, I'm just going to bike there.
Actually, that has happened to me. I have gotten off the bus and biked the rest of the way and kind of beat the bus. True story.
Wow.
The day ride your bike to work day. So, yeah.
Whoa.
That's kind of normal sometimes, but you got to really be pedaling.
Yeah.
I need me a bike. Mm-hmm. I'm tired.
With all that construction downtown, which is great, the construction downtown, you can go in and out, weave in and out where the bus has to reroute itself a little bit. So, I can get certain places before the bus turns the corner.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because with construction, DDOT comes second. They definitely reroute like crazy around the construction, especially if they're trying to keep up to their time.
Yeah.
Then they do the zigzag.
Right.
But let's get into, we're talking about bikes, our own personal bikes, basically, for people who ride DDOT and they bike as well and use the racks and whatnot. What do you think about the electric scooters and the city bikes that have been popping up downtown?
Oh, Mogo.
Yeah, Mogo. Yeah. And I don't know. I guess Detroit is trying to get on this whole mobility trend earlier, and it just looks really cool. It looks really trendy and hipster. That's what I think when I see these.
Right.
I see all these kids riding on the scooters and little bubble bikes. It's like a cute little what's that one place, Mackinac Island, where there are no cars allowed, and everyone's
awesome.
Like riding my bicycle. It's really cute and picturesque.
Riding my bike downtown.
Yeah. Right. Very San Fran.
It's very right. It's so cute and everything, and it does paint this beautiful picture of like you can get anywhere by bikes and blah blah.
Right.
But then Dida is still kind of left in the dark ages.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're not very accommodating for people who actually ride their bikes to work, to places they need to get to, like grocery stores.
Yep.
And downtown is very accommodating to Dida.
They got the dark cards though.
You said what, the dark card? But that card though, progress.
Right.
Yeah.
Progress.
So yeah,
we
so
get
like
the app.
Right. So we see cities and companies within the city cashing in on the mobility trend.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about that? Like, do you think it's a good thing? Do you think it's a bad thing? Do you think it could be a good thing?
Do you think
it's a bad thing?
I have to answer within the good or bad.
Yeah. I mean, but you could say, like, it could be good if the city would do this, too. Like, you know, how could it be improved? Because what I see is, like I said, a bunch of people who aren't from the city come in, have a good old time, and then they kind of leave the scooters and the bikes wherever the hell they want.
This is true.
I'm tripping over them in the street when I'm walking.
I'm picking them up and out of the way of the sidewalk because, you know, like everyone doesn't walk on, you know, their legs, and people have walkers and scooters. So it's like, how are they going to get around that scooter that's just been carelessly laid across the sidewalk?
Right. And I'm all for people riding bikes. I know Norm was definitely all for people riding bikes.
I'm for it.
But like, you can see the problem with these city bikes and how people treat
their
city bikes here.
Definitely.
And then, like, also, I think with the scooters, you need an app. In order to use the app, you need a credit card or a debit card, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What about the bikes? I don't know about those. Like,
the bikes are a little bit different. Like, my knowledge with Mogo is that you can use cash, and then you go to, like, a CVS or something, and there's, like, some sort of barcode, and then they give you that and you can validate that on the card.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like too much.
It sounded a lot complicated just explaining, but basically you're just like getting a paper voucher because you don't have a card to slide into the kiosk at the bike thing, right?
Okay.
So that's the cash thing or whatever, which is important. You know, everyone don't use cards and everything. The $5 annual fee is for that, for like people who have like the SNAP benefit or the Medicare or Medicaid. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
cool.
So that's that. Mogo's been, and Mogo's, I think it's a private thing. It's between like a few organizations like HAP or Henry Ford and everything like that. They're trying to get people healthy. So usually with these bike projects, I've seen this in like Chicago too, it'll be sponsored by some sort of like health care organization.
I've seen that, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
So the bikes are a lot more accessible.
They're a lot more
than the scooters, because I haven't seen anything like that for the scooters.
Yeah,
well,
too.
You know, like, because there's another biker that I talked to. I'm not going to say his name over the podcast, but he told me about that program that he has. He uses it, and that's how he uses Mogo, and he has, like, he mixes Mogo and DDOT a lot. So.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I even have a Mogo DDOT co-branded card. It was, I think it was last summer. It was in June or July. And they were like 30 days free of Mogo if you sign up with your email address, and I did, and it was kind of fun using the bike and riding the bus at the same time. And I found myself, you know what, this Dexter's slow, this Woodward's slow, I'm just gonna bike up there.
Yeah.
And as long as I didn't sweat so bad or anything like that, it was felt good getting off that bike, and I had all this supercharged energy, and I was ready to like jump on the roof of the building, just like scream and like get started with my
head. That adrenaline, those endorphins, right? So it's what I'm hearing. It seems like the bikes and
they got a better
The bikes are better for like the citizens of Detroit than those pesky. I actually don't have a problem with the bikes. I think that they are worth it.
Yeah,
because they are a bit more accessible, even if a little bit inconvenient
to
find like a CVS or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
but they are a lot more accessible.
Exactly.
But go ahead, Raina. Sorry.
geography. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. No, you know, everybody has a voice here, but like, that's all nice and everything. The $5 fee is nice and everything if they're not accessible everywhere in the city, right? And it's complicated. Like, well, we can't put it everywhere because crime, and it's like, whatever.
There's crime down here.
Right.
Right.
Like,
easily.
Carjacking and the whole shebang down there.
Check out Greek
Town after dark. So they'll use that as a way to say we don't want to go in certain neighborhoods. And then, like, which neighborhoods are getting, like, they're going into the neighborhoods, right? And put big quotation marks on it, bold and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which neighborhoods are getting the mobile bikes?
And also the scooters. Like, obviously the scooters are nowhere near the neighborhood. They're only down here, downtown.
I don't know. I heard some people taking some of the Lime scooters out into the east side.
and then
finally, like, some kids in the neighborhood was able to, like, enjoy it and play and, like, scan with their phone and everything and have a good time. But, you know, everybody don't want to go downtown just to ride the scooters. But, like, they can be obnoxious, right? What do you feel about them?
I feel like they are obnoxious. I'm walking, and then all of a sudden I hear people, oh, excuse me. And they're just, like, zooming past, zooming between people. There's no, I mean, at least with the bikes, we have bike lanes downtown, so people are in their lane.
I don't know.
I don't think they have a policy on that.
I think the scooters should go down those bike lanes.
Should they be in the bike lanes or can they be on the sidewalk?
The policy is to ride in. I'm one of those annoying folks that rides the scooters sometimes. Gotta raise my hand here. You guys can't see it, but I'm raising my hand.
You're not annoying if you're in the bike lane.
I'm in the bike lane.
Okay.
Following the rules, you know, parking my scooter where it should be, out of the way, but they are annoying, you know, if you don't follow the rules.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, they well, no one's following the rules except Norma.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I kind of
there's a few rules. Other. There's like two or three others.
I'll zoom on a few sidewalks
in the metropolitan Detroit area.
Considerate, I'll ring the bell and everything like that. But I can find it being real dangerous. You just get up on a curve and then flip your like flying off, and you know, God forbid.
Or like you said, people just leaving the scooters in the middle of the sidewalk.
Yeah,
and people with wheelchairs, they're trying to get around it, and it's
it's scary. And I'll tell you. A guy at in the office below us got hit on his scooter.
Oh my!
Yep, this was a couple of weeks ago. He was crossing the street. He did have a helmet on, but
he got hit.
So you got to be careful on him.
You do.
I really do.
Man, so like basically, we're just trying to figure out who are these scooters really for. Who are these bikes really for?
I mean, do y'all want my honest kind of like...
I mean, be candid. We have family here.
Cut to the like chase sort of thing. It's for like these new employees and people that have been moving into Detroit over the past years. And it's like a playground, you know? Like they want to make Detroit fun and a playground because you're giving your employer like 70, 80 hours, insane hours doing all this stuff in front of a screen or whatever you're there doing or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's make playtime and everything. And, I mean, I rode the scooters too. They can be fun, but they're also dangerous, you know? Like,
right.
I mean, they do recommend you wear a helmet, but how many people are wearing a helmet riding those scooters?
I don't think a lot. I really don't.
I haven't seen any.
But it's not like... I mean, because it's been put in the downtown core area first and it had kind of had to spread out, it's not for Detroit. You know what I mean? It's for, like, it's for the folks downtown. It's for, like...
The visitors.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, Detroit's fun now. We got scooters.
I mean, and even...
Mobility. Mobility.
And I know a few people who work down here, and they don't even... use the scooters or the bikes. They come in to work and then they leave.
Right.
Yeah.
Like they're not really here to play. Right. They came to work.
Yeah.
Maybe they're grown. They're here to work.
Yeah. Right.
They're gonna go get some food and then they're out. They go back to the office.
It seems like we think it is like it's almost like kind of like a tourist.
It's very touristy down here.
Yeah. For like spring and summer, and that's like what, 3 weeks in Michigan? Okay, 3 months. I'm sorry.
I mean, no, you're right the first time. Tell like it is. It's like a second.
Yeah, y'all both wear long sleeves. It's what? It's June. Is it 16th?
Today's June 15th.
Yeah.
June 15th.
And it's
y'all
cold.
Both got long sleeves.
Yeah, sweater.
Kind of warm sweaters on right now. And I got like this leather jacket.
I'm tired of this. Soon it will warm up. And we'll wish it was cooler though.
Yeah.
It's coming. Right, and then like, you know, like we were just talking about like, why, okay, so we're funding all these fun bikes and the scooters. Why not fund transit, which is kind of lacking.
Yeah.
Oh, right, because it carries, like, kids to school, people to work, to the medical appointments,
to church, to social events,
right. To, like, markets.
Exactly.
Where else do we take the bus?
Everywhere,
right?
Just everywhere.
My cousin's house,
right. Like, my grandma's house, whatever.
Right, that community event, that barbecue down the park.
You know, right, everywhere. To Mr. Smithers.
I don't think it's
Old Man Smithers.
Yeah. Well, Old Man Smithers wants to go downtown and get his daily newspaper. He likes to go to a certain store and his coffee.
Or his diner, you know.
His diner and everything like that and get his
daily newspaper. He might have to wait a while,
or he rides the number 3 to get down there. Right? But that bus didn't come on schedule, so he's waiting.
Right.
And his.
Does he have a bench?
Oh, no,
that's another podcast.
No, that's good. Yeah. No. So you're good at this.
No, you're fitting right in here.
You're fitting right in.
They always bring up the benches. Like, I feel like we bring up benches in every episode so far.
I think that has to be the running gag.
Subliminal messages, benches.
Episode 1, where my benches at?
Right, where my benches at.
Go back to that one.
So, like, okay, I remember you mentioning if you see a bike lane, back to the bikes, your rent's going up. What is that about?
All right. So I was in this mobility conference in the city of Chicago. And this one person asked, why do you feel about bike lanes being white lanes? And this was a white person asking us. I was like,
white?
Whoa.
What?
White lanes in terms of like being encroached into neighborhoods without any planning and then going in and then you feel like your neighborhood's gentrified.
Whoa.
So bike lanes is white lanes is gentrified lanes. this is an uncensored take on issues, right?
Yeah.
And I sat there like, whoa.
That is a
one. And I wonder, what are the rents in areas with the bike lanes? It's got to be four digits,
it's
right?
It's got to be correlated.
It's got to be correlated, right? Like,
in some way.
Because if you're you're charging people like $1,300, $1,500, $2,200 in the city of Detroit, a city that has 146 approximate square miles, that's a lot of land. You're charging like four-digit rates for rent, and then you happen to be near bus line, queue line, bike lanes, and stuff like that. Like, are bike lanes being served as routes for gentrification? Like, when they get installed in certain neighborhoods, that neighborhood's been targeted for development and displacement and push out.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, interesting.
Yeah. That's okay. First of all, I have a problem with anybody in Detroit being charged four digits anything for rent, because I feel like nothing in this bad boy is worth four digits in rent.
Nah. The land ain't that scarce yet. You know what I mean? Lots still exist in the city and everything like that. So,
I had a problem with that. I was like, no. And then also, like, what was biking like in Detroit before bike lanes? I mean, we rode our bikes on the sidewalk.
We rode on the sidewalk.
Yeah, we did. Well, I'm a New Yorker, so.
Yeah.
How did y'all ride the bikes?
Sidewalk. I left New York quite a while ago. And before that, you know, in between New York and Detroit, I lived out of the country in Germany for a while. Ooh. So saw a lot of people riding bikes there.
Yeah, they have a strong biking culture there.
And it's been a while, so I can't remember clearly if they were on the sidewalk or in the, you know, the street, but I would think it would be some of both.
Or maybe, like, I know in the Netherlands, they definitely have bike lanes, but they're kind of like streets almost, and they have even traffic signals and everything.
Oh, see?
Like, they're, like, if you really want to go somewhere and bike, like the Netherlands, they have a strong biking culture.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah, and then the infrastructure is, like, really intentional for bikers as well, too, because, you know, bike collisions happen, and you can get hurt really bad.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's been famous stories about that, and I just feel like, for me, back on that previous question, these bike lanes are gentrified lanes, to be really honest, because I'm going to have to, you know, have a shout out for the Jefferson Chalmers community. They're starting to get targeted for, like, some development investment in, like, you know, new apartments and everything like that. And they put bike lanes in the community, in the area, without consulting the neighborhood or having public meetings yet, and the design and having people do that. Even DDOT, if they do a new route, they'll tell you, and then they'll at least take and consider your ideas and stuff. So the city even had to admit, like, if you read the four-year transportation plan and the four-year strategic plan for transportation, that's the name of it, they admit that they made a mistake with the Jefferson Chalmers installing the bike lanes because they did not talk to community first. So I don't want y'all to read this as being against bike lanes and them being connected to gentrification. I mean, they kind of are, but, like, you know, just read a little bit more into what I'm saying with it. It's about planning process. It's about where these bike lanes are.
Yeah, it's about including the community that you're going to build on, because they should have a say. They should have a say whether they want it to be there or not.
That's
or
really
how they
want
it to be there.
Yeah. How many of y'all rode to Dexter and how difficult it is now?
It's so, first of all, the driving lane is so small, like, for cars. It's just, it's so small. That's why it's always kind of backed up on the Dexter. Like, almost, I can't stand it. It's because the bike lane, great, we got one. But that... It's like, what, the cast?
Yeah, but the problem is not really the bike lane. It's the parking lane that to put next to the biking lane.
Yeah.
That could have been a traffic lane for cars, and they could have had a lane for the buses just themselves. And cast could have been a very good experiment on how to incorporate. If you really want to have walkable cities and mobility and different routes of transportation, cast could have been a bike lane, car lane, bus lane type of street, but they dropped the ball and allowed for parking, and it crumped up so much of the street and everything like that. So
I feel like the only bus I excuse for being late would probably be the Dexter.
Yeah.
At least on that street, that particular street, which is Cass.
Oh, like, let's go back to stops again, too.
Well,
because the stops are few and far in between on Cass now, too.
Yeah.
And that affects the Dexter number 6, too.
I'll tell you, though, being a biker, I kind of like, I know it's an issue for DDOT, and, you know, I've seen the Dexter come down Cass, but as a biker, I kind of like those protected bike lanes.
Yeah.
They keep that bus away from me. Mm-hmm. They keep those cars away from me. But there's issues there. There's issues. Yeah. There's pros and cons everywhere.
You know what? Maybe parked cars are a buffer for the bikers, too.
Well, I feel like if they got rid of, like you said, the parked car lane,
right,
it would be so much better. Because the bikes, they're not really taking up that much space, honestly.
Yeah.
No, they're not. And there's nothing wrong with having them protected, too. Because, like, I will admit, like, I took a Mogo bike once, and I was riding on that bike lane, and I felt a little bit confident that a car wasn't going to hit me. And I'm going to be real. In the state of Michigan, we have a lot of pedestrian-related fatalities in this state.
Right,
especially because, like, you know,
drivers are aggressive here.
Right, especially because, you know, us Detroiters, we are famous for jaywalking.
We will look at you like, you have the nerve to speed up on me while I'm trying to cross in the middle of the street.
We're crazy.
Yeah. We give you that.
Right. So those protected bike lanes serve a purpose. You know what I mean?
Of course they do.
Just don't have a park lane, like park bike.
Do it the right way.
Do it the right way.
Talk to people.
It's pretty ill-planned.
Yeah, it was ill-planned. But the thing is, it's like, the concepts are cool. Like, I mean, biking in the city, it's a growing culture.
It is.
And it causes some people that may not be used to it, it may cause conflict, but this is not a no biker podcast here. You know, we're just talking about all of the above.
Exactly.
And then, like, you know, like, we don't want you to have this image of the bus rider just being one type of person, you know, like, you know, and bikers do ride the bus too. It's common to see it every single day. Biking in Detroit before bike lanes, I just remember, you know, like,
just
going
on
the
sidewalk.
And then if the sidewalk was broken up, especially like in the neighborhood streets, you just rode down the street and just paid attention and the car is there. But
it was pretty good. I mean, we needed the bike lanes, though. I honestly do think, especially because now people are biking more. At one point, we were not a biking city like that. We're still growing.
Yeah,
but yeah,
like,
now that we're becoming a biking city, we need the bike lanes more than ever.
I totally agree, and it's not a debate against the protected bike lanes. Like, they you feel safe when you ride scooter or the bike down there. And honestly, I feel like the scooter should be rolled down the bike lanes, not on the maybe on the sidewalks.
Yeah, they definitely should.
Are we
be
confusing
that bike
y'all?
Lane. Right. Are we that confusing? Yeah. Yeah, anyway, bike lanes, yes.
Yeah.
Park car lanes next to bike lane? No.
No, no.
Crimped up streets, like, right. You know. Right. Like, streets,
like, I really... swear, like, that street is just so congested, I cannot.
Yeah, you're right.
I've just been riding to Woodward more because, like, and I like the Dexter.
Me,
like,
too. It went, takes just... you close to the transit center and...
Mm-hmm. Is that number 16?
Yeah, that's number 16.
Okay.
16. It's a 24-hour route, too.
Is it? Nice. Yep. Okay. We'll talk more about 24-hour routes and early-ending routes in another podcast. We got some things to say. Speaking of that, we won't get into it now, but we will get into that because I do have some things to say.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
We would be remiss if we didn't do any housekeeping for you all. Remember, we said we got your bus pass? All right. DART is a new way to pay for transit. Save before you pay to get the correct pass. No more transfers, no more additional fees. Pay once and ride on both DDOT and SMART. All of this information and more is available on the DDOT website at DetroitMI.gov. That is DetroitMI.gov.
Ooh, once again, good job.
Thank you.
You should be on radio.
Yeah. Thank you. I think we all should.
It'd be nice. But
do we get any updates tomorrow?
No, not really. I mean, we do have that community, the DDOT community input meeting that's coming up. Actually, by the time you guys listen to this, it'll be that evening. So June 20th. Nice. Okay. Yeah. It'll be June 20th. At Rosa Parks Transit Center from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on the second floor. And what's that address again, Ray?
That is 1310 Cass Avenue on the corner of Cass and Michigan Avenue. You can take a variety of buses down to the Transit Center, Rosa Parks Transit Center. You can take the Dexter. You can take the Hamilton number 23. You can take the Gratiot. You can take Michigan Avenue. You can take Cadillac Harper, Russell.
A bunch of them. Yeah.
Verner. A lot of routes. So you know, you live in a city.
Yeah.
You ride the bus. You know how to get down there.
Right.
Second floor. 1310 Cass Avenue, Rosa Parks Transit Center, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, June 20th, DDOT Community Input Meeting. It is community input meeting, so they need your input. We need your input. We need you to speak up as well, too. And listen to this podcast before the show, and then maybe you have some ideas to tell them how to, you know, work with
the passengers, how to handle their business.
Right, and like really have a dialogue with bikers, right? And the bus riders. So,
right.
Yeah.
All right, once again, I'm Sam.
Norma.
And Ray.
And you were listening to the Do Better DDOT podcast.
Do Better DDOT.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.